World Cup Talk. Christina here with the storylines that matter most in football today. Neymar is suddenly the story hanging over Brazil's start to this World Cup, and it changes the emotional temperature of the whole tournament. Multiple reports over the last day say Brazil are preparing for the possibility that he misses the entire group stage after further injury checks. That does not just affect one lineup card. It changes how Brazil manage risk, how opponents plan for space, and how every fan reads the first week of this competition. For a team that still carries star gravity everywhere it goes, the question is no longer whether Brazil have enough talent. It is whether they can resist the temptation to rush their biggest name back before the tournament really settles. What makes this more interesting is that Brazil's conversation is no longer only about glamour. It is about restraint. Some of the latest coverage frames the staff as willing to keep Neymar sidelined through the opening matches to avoid re-injury, and honestly, that sounds like the most World Cup smart decision available. Group stages create panic because every country feels one shaky result can snowball. But that panic is exactly how stars get forced onto the field before they are ready. If Brazil trusts the depth around him, this becomes a message to the rest of the tournament. Modern contenders win by protecting availability, not by gambling on drama. If they do not trust that depth, then the dependency itself becomes the bigger red flag. Another injury thread worth watching is the United States. Because Christian Pulisic training separately is not the same scale of global headline, but it matters in a very specific way. The U.S. can be organized, aggressive, and athletic, but when the game gets sticky, they still look to Pulisic for the moment that breaks structure. A calf issue, even if managed carefully, shapes how much burst he has, how long he can go, and whether the team can really play on the front foot. Tournament football loves fine margins. One player being at 85% instead of 100 can be the difference between a dangerous transition team and a side that spends too much time recycling possession without a killer touch. And then there is Canada, with Alphonso Davies reportedly in a race against time for its next test. This is where the World Cup becomes brutally practical. Canada's identity at this level is speed, verticality, and the belief that it can turn chaos into opportunity. Davies embodies that more than almost anyone in the tournament. So if he is limited, the tactical question is not just who replaces him. It is whether Canada have to become more cautious, more conservative, maybe even a little less themselves. You can survive one match with a compromise. Over a tournament, though, compromises start revealing how deep a team's real plan is. Away from the injury board, one of the most revealing themes of the last day is how many matches are ending without the expected script. ESPN's recap of the latest action leaned into a day of draws, including Spain being held and South American sides failing to turn pressure into clean wins. That matters because the early World Cup phase always tells us whether the power map is stable or whether the middle tier has arrived with real nerve. When favorites dominate the ball but do not finish games, the tournament opens up emotionally for everyone else. Suddenly, smaller teams stop arriving just to survive. They arrive believing one disciplined 90 minutes can change their entire place in football history. Spain are a great example of that tension. The headlines around them are split between injury optimism and frustration that control did not become victory. That is a very Spain kind of story. Lots of structure, lots of touches, but the World Cup does not hand out points for aesthetic authority. If key players are returning, Spain may still feel the long-term picture is healthy, but the warning light is already on. A tournament can punish teams that confuse territorial control with real threat. The deeper point here is that the World Cup keeps asking the same question in different accents. Can you turn your idea of football into goals when the occasion is nervous and the opponent is happy to suffer? Host city atmosphere is another part of the story, and it is more than background color. Reports from across host markets described packed stadium environments and fan gatherings that already feel global, not local. Kansas City saw Argentina supporters turn public space into a kind of marching pregame ritual. Boston's fan fest scenes pointed to the same thing in another form. The tournament is sprawling across cities, but the emotional effect is concentration, not dilution. That is important because one of the anxieties around a three-country World Cup has always been whether it would feel too spread out, too corporate, too infrastructural. The early signals suggest fans are doing what fans always do. They are humanizing the giant machine. That said, the fan story is not all romance. Ticketing and resale information remain a live issue, especially around how people navigate official channels versus the gray market. That may sound less glamorous than injuries or match drama, but it shapes who actually gets to experience the World Cup in person. Every major tournament talks about access, but the real test is whether ordinary supporters can still find a path into the event without feeling priced out or scammed on the way. When fans have to become fraud detectives just to attend a match, it chips away at the idea that the World Cup belongs to the world instead of only to those who can pay for certainty. So the big picture today is this. The tournament already feels alive, but it also feels fragile in all the most interesting ways. Superstars are balancing ambition against biology. Coaches are learning whether their systems survive when a headline player is not fully available. Traditional powers are being reminded that control is not enough. And supporters are once again carrying the burden of making a mega event feel intimate while navigating the costs that come with it. That combination is what makes the World Cup impossible to ignore. It is never only about the score. For tomorrow, I would keep one eye on the medical bulletins and another on the emotional reactions inside the favorites. If Brazil stay patient with Neymar, that becomes a lesson in tournament maturity. If the U.S. or Canada get better news on their stars, their ceilings rise immediately. And if the draws keep piling up, then the most dangerous thing in this World Cup will not be one super team. It will be belief spreading through the rest of the field. See you tomorrow.